So let's go tonight into actually the things I want to share about. I want to, tonight is something that the Lord just dropped in my spirit kind of this afternoon. So talking a little bit about anchors of faith, some of the things that we have to keep in mind in order to walk in faith and be effective Christians. Because what we've been talking about the last number of weeks has been more than just being born again and making it to heaven. Hopefully we're getting a determination to be able to do something for the kingdom of God, to take our place in prayer, to take our place as believers, to see the kingdom of God advance. There's some things that we really must walk into to be able to understand that we are in a battle. One of the things that he really wants us to get a handle on, and I think it's going to become bigger in the days ahead, is that he really wants us to have this understanding of how much we need to be influenced by the spirit realm. And of course, God, the realm where God lives. There is a spirit realm, there's the demonic spirit realm, and there's the God side of things as well. And of course, he wants us to be influenced by the God side. He wants us to realize the influence and effect that the enemy can have upon Christians. If we will realize that the degree of effect that the enemy can have upon us, I'm convinced Christians will be more alert. Christians will take up their weapons a whole lot more and put on their armor more carefully if they realize that there's attacks coming on us on a daily basis. But if you and I go through this world, we float through this world thinking that we're not really in a battle, and if we are in a battle, the enemy is not really all that great. Well, then we're going to put our armor down and we're going to get taken out. But if we'll realize that there is a genuine enemy that a foe arrayed against us who is trying to kill us, trying to rob us from us, trying to destroy us, then I think we will be more diligent in taking up the things that we need in order to stand against him. Now, notice here when Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" And they were just walking along, just as clear as anything, and nothing really spiritual happening. And all of a sudden, some of the disciples were saying, "You're a prophet." Others are saying, "You're someone else." And all of a sudden, Peter cries out and he says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said this. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." Flesh and blood has not revealed this to Peter at this time, but the Father who is in heaven. In other words, there was an influence that came from the spirit world that all of a sudden hit Peter, caused him to realize that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is a revelation that has to come from heaven. That is a revelation that has to come from the spirit world. We can't really recognize the influence of King Jesus here on earth unless we have a revelation from the spirit realm. And if we're born again believers, we've got that revelation. If we're born again, if we've asked Christ to save us, he come into our lives and save us, then that revelation of who he is has come, that not only is he Savior and Lord, but he's King. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. But this had to come from from revelation, from the spirit realm. And the good things that we gain in life, they come from that realm. Everything comes from the spirit realm, actually. But what I want to key in tonight on is discussing a little bit about some of the spirits that are named in the Bible in order to bring an awareness to us of what we are dealing with, most likely on a daily basis. Excuse me. And we're going to look at the demonic, and we're going to look at some of the spirit of God as well, and those who are working with God and so forth. But we want to look at both the spirit of truth and the spirit of the world and so forth, as well as the spirit of God. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. An antichrist is someone who is against Christ. Anti means against, and of course Christ means anointing, and so he's coming against the anointed one. Anybody who does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh, in other words, that Jesus, God, actually became man. This includes not recognizing that Jesus, who came in the flesh, is God. In other words, they might say that God, that Jesus has come, but he's not really God. Jesus has come. Yeah, he was born into the world. A lot of people believe in Jesus who are not saved, who are not Christians. There's a lot of people believe that there was a man born at the time of Jesus' birth and that he died on a cross. But they don't believe that he was the divine Son of God. And this scripture, when it's talking about John, 2 John 1:7, it talks about that those who do not believe that Jesus has come, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. It's very important there that in this case that they use Jesus Christ because they're talking about the Messiah and that he has come in the flesh. And John goes on to say in John 1:14, and the Word, talking about Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this is one of the main doctrines of Christianity, is that Jesus came, God came incarnate in the flesh, and he dwelt among men, and he died for you and I. Because it's crucial, it's a crucial doctrine for Christianity that Jesus was God, but he was also man. He couldn't be the perfect sacrifice unless God was involved. Because if he was just a man, he was not sinless and he wouldn't qualify as being the perfect sacrifice. But he was not born of a man, from the seed of a man, but from God who was sinless. And so he was able to be that perfect sacrifice. And everyone that does not confess that, notice, is a deceiver. He's an antichrist. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. In other words, we are not a part of the spirit of the world. In other words, if we're going to get things in the world, it shouldn't be by the spirit of the world. It should be by the spirit of God. It should be through God's methods or through the kingdom of God. You and I are not to have our provision being met by the spirit of the world. Our provisions that we need on a daily basis may come to us through avenues within the world, within the earth, within the flesh, but the beginning of that doesn't start with you and I laboring beyond measure in order to get the things that we need. You see, a person who spends all their time working because they feel they need something are caught up with in the spirit of the world not factoring in God's plan and purpose to be able to bring to us those things that we need. And so they spend all their time becoming workaholics or in trying to do things the world's way as opposed to God's way. You cannot do the world's things the world's way and God's way and have success. It's going to have to be one or the other. We're going to have to learn that. Because many people got one foot in the world and one foot in heaven, or so do they think. But, you know, if you go around and say, well, thank God I got one foot in heaven. Well, the problem is with that, they got one foot in the world too. And a lot of times, one foot in the world gets stuck. And we'll continue to spend all our time doing things the world's way. And of course, when God made Adam and Eve and he gave them everything, but then when he sinned, he said, you're going to have to work by the sweat of your brow. And that was because of the curse that came on the land. Well, Jesus Christ came to redeem us from the curse. He came to give us some wisdom to put boundaries around our lives so we don't get excess in any area. And many times when we begin to be workaholics, it's because we're desiring something in the natural. And we're trying to do things the natural or the world's way in order to get the world's goods. But you know what? We can enjoy the world's goods and still not have to do it the world's way to get it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. It is the blessing of the Lord that gets us the true riches. And he provides us with the good things that we need in this world. So I want you to notice, because we're going to discuss a lot of this, the spirit of the world. That's a real spirit. That is a devil. That is a real spirit. The spirit of the world that pressures people to mold them into people who are doing things contrary to God's direction. Contrary to the way God does it. Even God rested after he made the earth. You know, after he worked a number of days, he rested. Timothy 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of a sound mind. So we see in this particular scripture that there is a spirit of fear. Fear moves with the system of this world in order to control people. Fear is one of the primary agents that the enemy uses in order to control individuals. Fear will do everything from stop people to pray from praying to going to church to go outside their door. It'll stop people from going to try to get an interview at a job. Fear will stop people from sharing their heart because of it might make them vulnerable and where people may be able to hurt them. Fear will move people into making bad choices. You know, some people have married the wrong people because they were afraid they were never going to get married. Fear comes in and can rule our lives. And it is the spirit behind that. Now, there's fear that can come. When I mean by that, you know, somebody might be afraid of a snake, for instance, and so you don't go around that. Well, that's just kind of a natural fear. But then there's a fear where a spirit of fear comes in. It seems like you're almost afraid of everything. People are caught up, and there's different levels and degrees of that, but people are caught up by getting themselves into a state of fear where it seems like they're afraid of driving in a car. There's always something about it that they're afraid to enter into. Now, these spirits can have a look for a way to enter into our lives. And I'm sure many of you heard me tell this story. It works here, as I've told it so many times, so I'll share it again. But I remember driving home one night after a meeting with some others for prayer, and we were actually worshiping, and it was late at night when I was driving home, and I was about probably 5 minutes from my house, and it seemed like a spirit of fear just came right into the car. And it came, and it was so heavy, I can still remember it. I actually turned around and looked in the back seat because the spirit of fear was so heavy, and I could feel the hair in the back of my neck stand up. I could feel my heart start palpitating. I could feel the hair of my arms stand up. And I, you know, it was kind of an odd thing to happen. I was actually praying. I was singing, actually, what I was doing. At the time, I was actually singing worship songs. And when this came on me, I recognized it immediately. And I had a lot of opportunity there just to yield to that spirit of fear. But I remember going down the road, I decided to look deep on the inside of me where the Holy Spirit lives. And I just kind of, even with all this happening around me, I just looked deep on the inside of me and I felt at peace, total peace. And so I just started praying in other tongues. And it didn't go. But I kept on praying in other tongues. And then I pulled into the yard, and I don't know why I never did this before. When I shut the car off, I said, "You spirit of fear, you're not coming into my house with me. Get out in the name of Jesus." And just like that, it was gone. Just quickly. Now, what could happen is that in some cases, we might have that happen and embrace it and think, "I'm so afraid." And start thinking of reasons why I should be afraid. And start meditating on that over and over and over again. And as we do, that spirit of fear will come in a greater measure and come and live with us if we'll open the door to it. It's a real spirit of fear that controls individuals, controls believers. Many are controlled. And you have to, every one of us have to face those fears. Did you ever get out into a place where you're walking and it was right dark and your mind start going everywhere about what things are going to lurk in, not even natural, might be spiritual things you're thinking about. Something could happen somewhere. Well, sometimes you just have to face that thing and walk through it anyway. And this great example of Kenneth Copeland, I remember hearing him talk about how he was a messed up lad when he came to the Lord. I'll tell you that when he started telling you some of the things he was afraid of. One of them was bridges. He was terrified to go over bridges. He said, when he'd come near, he said he used to, in a city, if he had to go somewhere, he'd spend about an hour trying to figure out how to get there without going over a big bridge. Remember, see how that could control your life? And everything you do, you're afraid. And he said one day, and he was saved at this time, and he said one day he came up to this big bridge, and he said what used to happen, he said, just the thought of it, he said every part of his body would begin to hurt. He said every part of his body would just ache with pain when he began dealing with that. And he said he came up, to this bridge, and he said his body started aching again. And he said, in the name of Jesus, this will not rule my life any longer. And he just stepped on the gas and drove out onto that bridge and stopped in the center of the bridge and got out of his car. And that broke that spirit of fear in that area. It broke that and it left him. He never had a problem with it again. So we have to face our fears. We have to realize also that it's not me. See, this is where the enemy has deceived Christians. That when something happens, most of us think, oh, well, I have a lot of anxiety today. You know, I'm having this problem. I'm fearful today. It's me. But no, we have to realize that's a devil trying to get us into fear, trying to manipulate it and control us.